This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Giants were off yesterday. I wish the Jets were off yesterday. What the hell was that, BT?
That was a tough one. That was one of the few games where the Jets really they didn't have a whole lot. The Bills game was like that. The Dallas game was like that. Those are pretty much the only two where it was really, really ugly. I mean, you know, Brady Cook is out there. I don't know what you really expect here. And the Jets, I mean, the Jets don't have a lot of talent on defense. I think we know that. You know, there were a couple of plays. I'm not going to waste much time on this. The Tua backwards pass, the pick six the Jets almost had, the near interception at midfield. There were a couple of plays where it could have made it a little bit tighter. Funny thing, though, I actually see it a little different than most Jet fans do. I really do. The general consensus is, and Aaron said this himself, I was thoroughly outcoached. I wasn't ready. My bad. I like him taking ownership. I don't fully agree because he's trotting out a bunch of B-level players at this point. But I think if the Jets weren't at least engaged and kind of locked in from a morale point of view, you fall behind 21-0 in the first quarter, 8-9 minutes into the game, you're losing that game 40-3. Now, ultimately, at least previous Jet teams would have. Now, they still got waxed, obviously, by the final score, and some of the statistics were absolutely gross. Like, I think the Jets had 2 first downs at the half. Miami
Come on,
had
man.
14. No, it was gross.
Unwatchable football.
Unwatchable for sure. What I'm saying is, like, I'm looking for something a little deeper because there's really nothing from the result of the game to tap into to say, I believe in this, or that, like tangible football stuff. I saw a little effort, just to kind of try to hang around. What does that do? Doesn't do much, but I just didn't see a team quit, and I've seen a lot of other Jet teams quit.
I saw a quarterback in Brady Cook who is not the, like, there was some thought that, oh, let's see Brady Cook at the end of the year and maybe see what he could do. He is firing darts with no touch or accuracy all over the place yesterday. That was a big strike one. Again, not that he was going to be the answer, but some people thought, hey, let's see what Brady Cook could do. Well, I've seen enough already.
That's it, one and done?
Oh my God.
I can't say that. They dropped a lot of passes. Mitchell, hold on to them. Mitchell, Mechie, whatever. Even Taylor dropped one. Like, they dropped some pretty good throws. He made mistakes. He also didn't know he was going to start this week. I really hope that Tyrod's out. I want to see him get a week of reps and at least make my final. Like, I can't say that after
strong,
one game.
Strong arm, just no
he
touch.
He does have a good arm.
Yeah, no
he
touch
does.
Whatsoever. He's firing bullets all over the field. That was the other part of it. These receivers, they stink. I don't want to hear about A.D. Mitchell and, oh, he could be great in the number. He stinks. Whether it's the route running, the hands, oh, my
he
God.
He dropped some passes he should have had.
Dude,
yesterday was a step
on.
Back for
Are
him.
Are you an NFL receiver or what?
Coming off the game he had prior.
Yes.
That was a disappointing step back. I don't disagree. I was very disappointed the way he looked here. Listen, I at least want to see, if Tyrod gets back and he's fine, okay, great. But and I almost prefer Tyrod because we'll get a better answer. I do want to see a game or two, and I know he's eligible to come off IR. I at least want to see Garrett Wilson, you know, Mitchell, Michi, Taylor, Hall, pretty good O-line. I at least want to see.
Well, with Garrett,
what,
that, yeah.
With right. Garrett Wilson, yeah. What it could look like when everybody else is slotted back into where they really should be. Now, that's just the takeaway for the Jets game. It is what it is. What really matters is what happened to Daniel Jones.
In regards to the Jets, I mean, this game was over 15 offensive plays into it for the Miami Dolphins, 21-0. And the thing that that showed me, just real quickly, just to go, the problem that the Jets have, they may have problems with players. They need better players. They trade away some of their good players. You know, they beat Atlanta last week. That doesn't say much given what Atlanta looks like right now. But they were completely, I mean completely exposed defensively from a schematic situation. Like Mike McDaniel came in here and had a game plan at the beginning of this game and went right down the field on them, 15 plays, 21 points. And that means that Steve Wilkes' defense had no clue. And there were guys running wide open. I mean, Tua didn't throw for over 130 yards in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it was all on the ground. I mean, I've talked before about good running backs against the Jets and Giants is like a lock thing to take. And Devin Achane ends up leaving the game like in the second quarter, whatever it was. But he already had 92 yards on the ground on like five carries, end up running for over 200 yards. It's just, and that right there, and talking to anybody who's ever played at a high level, including you, the one of the biggest like indicators of getting your ass whipped is those rushing yards.
That's exactly right.
And that's what happened yesterday. And I don't know, once Tyrod Taylor goes out, you got Brady Cook out there. I mean, the place is absolutely dead. I don't even know what to say about it. They are in a great situation going forward, even a better situation after the Daniel Jones injury with the two first-round picks, and who knows where that organization is going to go, but it's certainly going to be, you know, closer to the top of the draft with the losses that they're going to have. So that's really what I need to see, is them getting their future quarterback, where they end up at the end of the year. Darren Mooji building this roster, they don't have enough players. And I also think that, you know, right now I evaluate the coaching staff as like a D, but they also don't have enough players for me to sit there and really understand who they are.
The defense looked like it was totally confused yesterday at the beginning of this game. That's what I was talking about. And especially when Tua did go to throw, those guys were running wide open. Like,
yeah.
Like, whether it be formations or motions or different things, that they were just totally ill-prepared. And, you know, that goes back to Steve Wilkes' defense and his schematics and all that other stuff. It's just, it was way too easy, and it was ridiculous. It looked like it was 7-on-7. The other team, I guess, wins without playing is the New York Giants, because now they have the number one draft pick this coming April.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A loss like yesterday sets you back. It sets you back from believing this coaching staff knows what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no evidence that it does. But the answer of blow it up after 1 year, that's a terrible answer too.
Yeah.
Because this franchise, which is already toxic, would become 10 times more toxic after they're firing a coach after one season. Who's going to take this job? And so I think ultimately we as fans, even if you don't believe in this administration,
you have no choice
but to trust it, because the alternative, in my opinion, Teague, is worse.
Yeah, the worst thing is firing a coach after a year, one and done coach, which we know doesn't. I mean, it worked for New England, but that's because of special circumstances. But it usually does not create winning. It doesn't create this path towards finding success unless you realize that it is a horrific mistake. And I don't know if that's the case yet with Aaron Glenn. It doesn't feel like, oh man, this guy has no idea what he's doing, right? When who was the one and done in Arizona?
Steve Wilkes.
Yeah, Wilkes. Exactly. I knew
I was the defensive coordinator.
When he had that job, it felt like he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so firing him made a lot of sense. I don't know if it makes sense with Aaron Glenn this early.
Well, but keep this in mind about Arizona and even New England. While Arizona specifically wasn't exactly like this beautiful franchise.
No. And they had front office issues as well.
Right. The Jets right now, if you're ranking all 32 teams, they are the worst franchise in football, and it's probably by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's 15 years now without a postseason spot. They've had one 500 season in the last decade and a half. Like, it is the least appealing job in the world. So when you say, if you say, I don't believe in this coaching staff, let's blow it all up, I don't think people are realizing that no one will take this job. Like, I won't even bore you with bringing up Mike Tomlin's name. Because why would he take it?
Yeah.
Why would anyone with a half a brain take the Jet job at this point over the Giant job? Especially after you fire a coach after 1 year. So
right, they need a stabilizer. They need someone, even if they're not getting you consistently to the postseason, they're making the organization stable.
Yeah.
Right. It takes sometimes special coaches to do that. The perfect and prime example is Sean Payton when he went to the New Orleans Saints. Think about how bad that organization was perceived. And they had a couple of successes here and there, but by and large, they were just a bad organization and a franchise. They get Sean Payton, who had years of experience under some really good coaches, including Bill Belichick Bill Parcells with the Cowboys, and obviously here with the Giants, and then he goes to New Orleans and he changes it, not just the team, but the organization.
Mm.
And so it's almost like the Jets need that in a sense. But who is it?
Well, right now we have no choice. We have to cross our fingers and hope it's Aaron Glenn.
And who wants to do it?
But the answer is nobody.
Yeah.
Hence why the only option is to hope it's Aaron Glenn. Dante is in East Brunswick. What's up, Dante?
Hey, what's up, guys? As a Giants fan, I was wondering if the Giants ended up with the first pick. And, you know, Jets, obviously, if you're looking to move down, you're looking for a team that has multiple first-round picks. I wouldn't want to be the team that gave the Jets a quarterback. I don't know if that would come into play. If, you know, there would be, like, some ultimate, like, major tax between Giants
and
Jets.
Dante, let me ask you a question. I'm just asking you this question as a Giant fan, all right? So you end up with the number one pick. For those that are not aware, if the season ended today, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. The Giants own the number one pick in the NFL draft. They are number one overall. Let's say the season ends that way. Do you feel that way about other teams? Like, I don't want to give a quarterback to the New Orleans Saints, or I don't want to give a quarterback to the Las Vegas Raiders, or is it simply, I don't want to give a quarterback to the New York Jets?
No, to me, it's just the Jets and division and anybody in your division, obviously for a competitive edge, but the Jets just being in the town, you know, some people might not care about that, and ultimately, like, the team might not care about that, but
I feel like that would have there would have to be a tax just to really be the reason the Jets, you know, as bad as we've been, I want to keep them down as long as possible. Too.
I respect it. You know. By the way, I respect the hell out of that guy because he's admitting it. And this is going to become a conversation. In fact, this was actually a conversation. Ready for this?
Go ahead.
In the Morash household. And not from Sean.
Mm.
Sean's dad, according to sources, wants to get the number one pick so that the opposite of Dante can make a trade with the Jets so that he can laugh at the Jets after they fail to draft a quarterback successfully and then get all their picks.
Yeah, it's no secret that the 65-year-old Bob Morris suddenly has no problem losing games to get the first overall pick because the Jets may be involved, 1,000%.
So think about that. Dante, our last caller, says, hey, look, man, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to risk this. I want to put a tax on the Jets. And then Sean's dad is like, ah, screw it. I can't wait to make a trade with those dopes so they can screw it up.
He thinks that's it. He'll just hit every home run with those picks, and the Jets will regret it forever.
From my perspective, and obviously I'm the guy who's drafting the quarterback, mm-hmm. I could care less
who you get it from,
who the trade is made with.
Right.
I agree.
It does not matter.
You just want
to me.
The quarterback.
I want the quarterback. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to be bad no matter what. So it doesn't matter if I gave the Giants picks or the Raiders picks or the Titans picks. But I do think that they represent some Giant fans who are going to feel that way.
Right.
I don't think you're going to admit that, though.
No, I'll be honest with you. I want the highest. I don't care if it's the Jets, the Raiders, whatever. Give me as much as possible. And I don't care who gets those picks or if Mendoza turns out to be Montana, as long as my guys are great. That's it.
And that's really the key. Like, here's the thing. If you're the Giants and you end up with the number one overall pick and you trade it, the only thing you better be right about, besides, you know, hitting with the picks you mm-hmm. get, is that Jackson Dart is the guy.
Right. Absolutely.
You don't want to live in a world where years from now, we're going to say, oh, my God, you could have drafted Mendoza.
And that's the thing. If Mendoza ended up being, like, the third best quarterback in football and Jackson Dart was the 10th best quarterback in football, that's still not going to bother me that they made the trade as long as the Giants picks end up being awesome themselves. You know what I mean? Mendoza can be better than Dart as long as Dart is good.
As of right now, there are 3-2-11 teams in football, the New York Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans, and they are all separated very in a small, minuscule fashion based on the strength of schedule tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So that's where the Giants are right now. They are tied with two other teams, but they own the tiebreaker. They have the number one pick in the draft. The Jets at 3-10 are tied with four other teams, and they don't have the tiebreaker. In fact, they are fourth on that list of 3-10 teams, hence why they're picking seventh in the draft if the season ended today.
And the Giants are favored Sunday.
And the Giants, look, I think on paper, and we'll get more into this as time goes by.
Is that the first time all season?
They were favored in the Saints game.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And if you look at the rest of the schedule, I mean, the Giants play the Raiders. So there are wins to be had, to say the least. Let's go to David in Maplewood. Hey, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I you know something? Glenn is so not the guy. I haven't seen one facet of the Jets team improve in any way the entire season so far.
Special teams.
Matter of fact,
special teams.
And this guy, and this Michi dropping a touchdown. I mean, don't they have coaches to coach the receivers and quarterback coaches? I mean, I don't think he knows how to run the team at all.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think they've gotten better in special teams.
Yes.
He definitely did not acknowledge that.
Isaiah Williams.
Number two, let's get to the drop passes because he's not wrong about that. The Jets were charged with 6 dropped passes yesterday.
Ouch.
That is the most by any team in any game this season. Why and how does that happen? Because he's putting it on coaches. You tell me how that happens. Why did that happen?
Focus, bad balls. Some of it is a little bit of both. Tyrod Taylor didn't throw a lot of good balls. The one that was ultimately ruled an interception, that crossing route, who was that? Who is he throwing it to? I'm forgetting now. Whatever it was a shallow cross. It's third down. He's wide open the minute he takes 2 steps into his route. He waits until he's all the way on the other side of the field before he finally throws it. He throws it behind him and ultimately gets up intercepted. So to me, it's part guys just having drop problems, right? But it's also a quarterback putting the ball where it needs to be.
Look, the one that I'm still thinking of 24 hours later is John Metchie. Because it was a walk-in touchdown.
Yes.
And Brady Cook actually did something. He was going to get his touchdown pass. It was going to not get the Jets back in the game, but it was a nice moment at MetLife Stadium. And the aghast that came out of that crowd and my mouth when John Metchie put that one on the ground, that was, again, depressing. Word of the day, depressing. But yeah, According to True Media via Rich Cimini, 6 drop passes most of any game by any team this season. Coincidentally, the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football put up 5.
Wow.
So they almost matched it.
I love that Fernando Mendoza kid.
Just well, that's what I was going to get to. And one of the things that you did previously
on X. And by the way,
X,
you know, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you finish it. But just so you know, like that, when I was tweeting about that, I mean, you know, what time was that?
Well, that was different. I'm talking about yesterday. You were really, you were like in deep with some of these people.
I just get annoyed. You know, some people just annoy you.
Well, yeah.
Like, who the F are you? Like, who are you to question Fernando Mendoza? If you give me your credentials, give me credentials. Yeah, hey, I'm a scout. Hey, I'm this. Hey, I'm this. No, I'm some jackass in my mom's basement.
Oh, here we go.
And I see a tweet that I'm going to act, you know, at.
Well, I mean,
whatever.
Once you dip your toes into that water,
know,
it's your own fault.
I know that. So.
But you know that that's what's there. You know, it's like, hey, there's a pond filled with piranha.
Yeah.
Let me jump in there.
Okay.
And now I got my penis bit off. Well, what should I have? And I did have never done that.
All right, so what's the Fernando Mendoza?
I know you were very, very impressed with him. A lot of college football talk, and we can get into some of that coming up. You were very impressed with him. We know how things change during the combine and the pro days and this and that. But as we sit here right now, do you believe that this man will be the number one overall pick, or will be the first quarterback to go to a quarterback?
Well, he'll be the first quarterback to go. The Giants aren't taking him.
Well, the Giants, I don't think the Giants are going to end up being the...
Well, I'm just saying, we're sitting here, the Giants have the number one pick, so if there's a team that does not need a quarterback like the Giants, then unless the Giants trade out of it, which would be smart for the Giants to do, whoever the next GM is, hopefully that will be the case. You know, get more picks, get more people in here, just like Darren Mooji's trying to do for the Jets. But the reason I like this kid is because of his interviews, the way that he talks, the things that he says. He's not about himself. He's not about entitlement. You know, I didn't realize it until I saw it after this game against Ohio State. You know, his mom has MS.
Hmm.
And, you know, it puts everything in a completely different perspective for him. You know, and he was good when he was at Cal. He's been great here at Indiana. I know his numbers aren't what some of the numbers, like the Joe Burrow numbers were, the Jaden Daniels numbers were when they won the Heisman Trophy. But, you know, he won a tough battle against, quite frankly, the best defense, you know, in college football. Yeah, he threw an interception, but, you know, he got rocked on the first play of the game. He talks about, I die for my teammates. You know, it's all about ball. I love it. I love it. I eat it. I sleep it. I drink it. I mean, like all the things that every general manager wants a player of his caliber to be saying. And it's not, and I'm sure he got money from Indiana to go play there like every other college football player plays there. Plus, he's a little bit older. So he's a little bit more mature than most. And I don't know. I just think he's a really great kid. I do. I know he leans towards the religious side. He's talks about God and Jesus all the time, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I just want to know that he really cares about playing football and playing quarterback. And I get that vibe from him. I haven't met him personally, but just watching all of these post-game interviews and this particular interview after this championship, I mean, it was very, very telling what kind of kid he is. He's got all the physical ability.
So he's a guy that you would want to see the Jets, if they don't have the number one overall pick, trade up to get because he could make it here.
I asked Phil when Phil met him personally.
Yeah.
And probably played his worst game of the year against Iowa, who had a good season. But Indiana obviously won that game. And Phil said that he was really impressed with the young man just talking to him. And then watching him throw, you know how Phil stands behind guys and loves to see what.
Yeah, like a prostate check and all that thing.
Whatever. But yep. He goes, yeah, he's got all the ability. He's got the physical size. Like he's as big, almost as big as Daniel Jones. So
yeah,
he's right in the combine number. He's perfect in terms of the combine physical numbers.
All right. So the answer to that question I asked you is yes, you believe that he's going to be the
first quarterback taken.
No, but the question I just asked, though, you think he could make it here? He's got the personality to make it here, you know, because being the Jets quarterback is a different kind of challenge.
Yeah, I understand. Like Jackson Dart would make it as a Jet quarterback. Baker Mayfield would make it as a Jet
quarterback.
Yeah,
that's what I'm asking.
Josh Allen would make it as a Jet quarterback. I asked Phil that too. I did ask him. I said, do you think that he has the personality? He goes, Boomer, he's really competitive. He's really confident. I believe he would make it here if, in fact, the Jets were able to get him.
But you're not confident enough to say that right now.
I have to see a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah.
But I have to say, once you read his story and you hear about his mom and the way that he was with his parents after this championship game and the things that he says around the game of football and how he talks about it, I mean, I would imagine that the NFL GMs are drooling over him because this is the Drake May mentality. You know, this is what everybody was all about with Drake May, that he's all about football. He loves football. You know, and his rookie year was brutal. It was hard on him, but he stood in there. And now he's got Josh McDaniels refining his game, and look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he is someone that could make it here based solely on, I shouldn't say solely, but the football stuff is there. But he went to a place in Indiana, and I know the coach has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
But to be a starting quarterback at Indiana, the first time ever they're ranked number one in the country in a college football playoff, have a chance to win a national championship. I mean, this guy is already, you know, they should put his number up in the rafters already. You know, I mean, just retire it now for this guy.
I mean,
so,
you can see he's making throws against Ohio State. You know, and not every game is going to be easy, as evidenced by C.J. Stroud's game last night against Kansas City. You know, their offense was getting – I almost tweeted last night that the Houston Texan offense was null and void in the second half. Until all of a sudden Andy Reid started making bizarre decisions and turnovers started happening. And then C.J. Stroud made it about four or five plays, like as we were watching the highlights of Fernando against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Those types of plays, you know, leaving the pocket and making plays. So he's got all the physical ability, and I think he is a really positive kid. I have no problem with what he talks about or what he alludes to in his personal life about his belief in God and everything else. I don't care about that. All I care about, does he really want to play football? And I believe he does.
Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. What's going on, Josh?
Good morning, gentlemen. Boomer, I agree with you about Mendoza's ability on the field. But that post-game interview yesterday, you know, when you look at someone like Jackson Dart, you can tell that he can connect with every guy in that locker room. But Mendoza just seems like over-the-top dweeby, almost in like an extra Pete Alonso way. I don't really know how to explain it.
I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying.
You don't think that that could be a little concerning? Like as like being the leader of men, as the quarterback who like needs to really connect with all those guys, you don't think that that could be a little bit of a challenge for him?
It could be. I mean, I don't know. If they have a good team around him, they'll bring out the best in him. If they have a bad team around him and you're asking him to be a miracle worker his rookie year, then you're asking for failure. You know, I mean, the Jets have got to scrub the entire quarterback room and start over.
Now, I know that Russell Wilson was a guy that was drafted later in the first round, but...
He was drafted in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, later in the draft, rather. Was not a first-round quarterback, is what I want to say, later in the draft. But he, like, if you want to talk about a cheesy guy who won, he was one of them. Like, do you think that Russell Wilson, in the situation when he came out of the draft when he did, could have turned a team like the Jets around, or it was specifically because of the situation he was in with the coach he was in?
A little bit of intimate knowledge here with Pete Carroll and when they drafted him. And
yeah,
Pete wanted him even before they took him in the third round. And Pete said he knew the first moment he met him at the combine, I believe it was, and then when he finally got to camp, that he was the man. That he just knew he was the man because he was so mature and was such a great baseball player, too.
Yeah.
He could have went and played baseball kind of like Kyler Murray.
Right.
But so he was a much more mature athlete than people realize. And I think this kid probably is kind of like that, where he's older. He's played for two different major colleges, Cal being the other one. I don't know. You know, look, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we thought that Jackson Dart was going to be this good. Brian Daboll did.
Yeah. I mean,
Brian Daboll did.
Right, of course.
He saw something in him, and maybe Lane Kiffin convinced Brian Daboll to draft him. But, you know, hopefully now Jackson Dart is going to take all of this really seriously. They want the next Drake May, is what they want. you know, that's what everybody's looking for. It started with Peyton. It got amplified with Tom Brady. And then, you know, player after player that would come and play the position, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. They want guys that are serious about playing the position. Patrick Mahomes, you know, you're not going to win every game. It's hard. It's a hard business. But, you know, this kid seems to have that part of it down.
Let's go to Jason in Westfield. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Christmas season. Nothing against the Lord, but Boomer, do you think a glory to God guy, first interview, can be the quarterback in this market in the Jets?
Right? I don't know how well the Jets need. Think about it. You know, like right now the Bears got the Pope on their side. So maybe the Jets need a guy like this. Maybe this is what it's going to take. Somebody who has unbreakable faith.
That was funny that the guy prefaced his comment with no offense to the Lord. Hey, guys, first time, long time. No offense to the Lord.
Especially during this holiday season.
Yeah, especially during the holiday season.
I could see him, you know, being a quarterback of the Jets and lighting a Christmas tree.
Sure. But, I mean, there's so many guys who have, that are very, very into their faith that have come through New York and have been fine because they've been great athletes. So I don't really think that's good. The guy plays well. Everybody's going to buy into everything he's saying. And if not, they're not. I mean, I don't think that's a factor at all.
You know, I see a kid with his parents and his mom going through the MS, which is brutal, and just him there. I don't know. It's just something. And then listening to his conversation when he's not even like, so he may start everything off with glory be to God and everything else, which is fine.
He's not the only one. Everybody does it.
Right. You see the prayer circles at the end of games.
I mean, he's like every, I mean, I would say at least 60% or more of NFL players are saying those things in interviews.
Exactly. But I understand what the previous callers are talking about. And I don't know, maybe he might mute some of that. I don't know. Maybe some of, if in fact he does get to the Jets, I don't, you know, who knows? I mean, would it be any worse in Vegas?
Oh, my goodness. You want to test the faith having drafted by the Raiders, right?
How about the Saints?
Oh, my, yeah, both those places.
Or the Browns.
Well, in a different way. Like, there's a lot more temptation in Vegas and New Orleans than there may be in Cleveland.
I would just say that I just feel like he's a stable kid. That's a young man. He's not even a kid anymore because I think he's going to be 23 by the draft.
Okay.
So he's like Jackson Dart. He's a little bit older. He's been around. He's played a lot of football. He's played in big games. You know, that game the other day, he throws a bad interception. It's going to happen to all of us. But, man, he hung in there, man. He got the crap knocked out of him, and he hung in there, and they won 13-10. And if they end up playing that team again, that's going to be, I think Ohio State still has the best team. I really do.
So go to Ron and Tom's River. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, man. What's up?
I just wanted you guys to, like, clarify. Like, I just wanted to know, like, it seems to me, like, when you guys are talking about this kid, like, you know, saying glory to God and all that, you kind of made it out to seem like a red flag. Like, I'd rather have this guy talk about God and doing Bible and reading Bible than doing a Johnny Manziel and, you know, doing blow off a stripper's butt or, you know,
like, well, I mean, you're basically like, talking, you know, about, like, you're basically talking about one extreme to the other. Yeah. I mean, this kid is so much better than that. I mean, I don't know. You know, I just...
Listen, I'm not saying that it's a red flag because I've just said there was a million NFL players who do the same thing.
No, but we did say callers have said it. But what we also said is that, you know, personalities like Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, those personalities, and Joe Burrow's a little bit of a unique individual.
You telling me none of those guys have ever said thanks to God in one of those interviews? Never once?
But I understand what most people are saying is that, you know, Fernando goes down that road a lot, but that's fine. That's his life. That's who he is. And I just want a stable, strong young man who's a little bit more mature than the previous first round draft choices that they've had in here, that has the size, the arm strength, and the athleticism to be able to make plays. No, he's not Jackson Dart running around, but he can make plays and extend plays as we saw against Ohio State.
No offense to the Lord, but I'm going to do some blow off the stripper's butt.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wonder if Tiki remembers this. I wonder if Sean remembers this. I wonder if Tommy remembers this. But on Friday, we made predictions on how many turnovers the New York Jets would force, considering they're having this historic season where they have only forced two turnovers the entire year.
Right.
So on Friday,
I kind of remember this.
You do now?
I do now.
I went around the room and said, all right, you know, this team has been inept at forcing turnovers. How many do you think they'll force? Let's start it off and obviously check in. For those that are not aware, the Jets forced zero turnovers on Sunday against the Dolphins. They did commit three themselves. two interceptions by Brady Cook. One was late. And one interception by Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
So three turnovers by the Jets. They forced zero of them. Here's what Tiki Barber said on Friday.
Tiki, how many turnovers did the New York Jets force on Sunday against the Dolphins?
Well, Tua is prone. I think they get their first interception of the season.
And that's the only turnover they force?
One.
All right. One.
That's close.
That was, yeah. He was only off by one.
So that's for Tiki Barber. Here is both Sean Morash and then Tommy Lugauer.
Sean Morash, how many turnovers did the New York Jets force on Sunday?
Tua.
That's a good one.
It's still funny. He's good today.
He's good
today. That was a good one.
Tommy, how many turnovers?
I mean, a tough act to follow.
I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to go two. One of them is going to go back to the house.
Yeah.
So I pick six.
Go back to the house.
Yeah, we all went back to the house.
Hold on a second. Tua almost threw a pick six, though.
But he didn't.
But he almost did.
I don't care
if the defender could have caught the ball. He was 5 yards in. He would have walked in for a pick six.
There was also balls on the ground. Like, there were opportunities for the Jets to force turnovers on Sunday.
Yeah, there was another one popped in the air. I think it was Isaiah Oliver just missed it.
Yeah, the backwards pass.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, boys.
Horseshoes
and hand grenades.
Thank you. I don't want to hear how close you were. You weren't close. The answer's zero. You're wrong. Sean's wrong. Tiki's wrong. Guess who is right? Here's my prediction.
The answer's zero. Mm-hmm. And the beat rolls on.
And the beat rolls out. And the beat rolls out. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you were right.
That's my gut feeling. Zero.
Yeah.
And
And the beat rolls on, and the beat rolls on.
To be fair, I was also saying zero, but I went for the cheap joke, so.
Hey, right, I'm sure you did.
It was a cheap joke. It was pretty good, too.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell in the replay of that how much Tiki liked that cheap joke.
I was still laughing.
Like, the biggest thing I took away.
Later, I'm still laughing.
The biggest thing I took away from this whole science experiment of us predicting how many turnovers the Jets would force is how much Tiki loved Sean's joke about Tua. That's what I learned. Let's get to your phone calls. Did you hear that Pete Alonso is driving to the winter meetings?
Mm.
Paul in Newark, New Jersey. What do you think of that, Paul?
That's what I called about it. You know, I always thought that the Mets are going to have to settle on Pete and Diaz early. I know Stearns likes the market to play out, but they got a lot of work to do. You need two starting pitchers. You need a left fielder. You need your first baseman. You need your closer. So I always thought, are they going to settle on these guys and sign them early? Do you think this is a sign that they're going to sign them early?
No. I don't think it's a sign at all. Here's what it's a sign of. It's a sign of the fact that Scott Boras may have overplayed his hand again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we heard a month ago that Boras and Alonso were asking for 7 years, and it doesn't feel like any team is close to that. And right now, the only team outside of the Mets that you've heard like has a real interest in Pete are the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And even for them, it may be a backup plan. So I think Pete driving from Central Florida to the winter meetings, which are also in Central Florida, it's actually at Disney, I think is a sign of Pete saying, boy, I don't know if I'm getting 7 years, 6 years, or 5 years. Let me try these face-to-face with these teams and see if that helps.
Do you think that Pete is going to stop by Epcot and have some drinks around the world?
Absolutely.
Why would you not?
I mean, you're an idiot if you don't.
Hard no.
Exactly. You're going to have all these intense conversations with the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles, and they're going to say, we don't really want you. He's going to be like, all right. Let's go, Japan. Here we go, Italy.
Now, for those
all
that
right,
are
Germany, where is the Steins?
He does have a newborn at home.
That is true.
And even more reason.
Exactly. He needs to break.
That's why he actually went to the winter meeting, just to get away.
Yeah.
But so what Tiki is describing, and I want to paint the picture, is that the winter meetings are at the Swan Hotel or the Dolphin Hotel. I think it's the Swan Hotel, but both of those hotels are in the back of Epcot Center at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful hotels. They are both within walking distance of the International Gateway of Epcot Center. Trust me, I know. I was just there. In fact, I stayed at one of those hotels, right? So if you're Pete Alonso and you are going to meet with these teams, don't you think you're meeting in Mexico?
I would.
I mean, what? You're going to go to the hotel or you're going to say, meet me, let's have a nice margarita?
Right. I would. Or France. Some martinis.
Yeah. Or Germany, like you said.
Some beers.
There's so many great options. But I think that the challenge the Mets are facing, it's not about pitching. Because to me, it has nothing to do with Pete Alonso. Because I think that Steve Cohen doesn't have a set budget. I think there's players and how much he's willing to go with each of these guys.
Right.
I don't think Pete Alonso's contract is relative to their pursuit of Framber Valdez.
So you think it's more about pitching?
Well, I think it's about everything. I think you can juggle at the same time. I think if Pete Alonso agreed to what the Mets are offering, he'd be a Met tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete is still looking for 5, 6, 7 years. My concern about the timetables is not about pitching. It's what if Schwarber comes off the books and now you're waiting on Pete the way you did last year and now Bellinger comes off the books. Excuse me, and Tucker comes off the books.
This is from a Mets now perspective.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out, all right, is Pete our only option?
Right. Like last year, they were almost positioned where if they didn't bring Pete back, no big deal, we gave you Soto.
Mm-hmm.
If all of these other pieces are coming off the board, what does the backup plan turn into for Pete Alonso if he drags this thing into January or February? That's the risk. Because I think Kyle Schwarber is going to sign first.
Mm.
And at least I view Kyle Schwarber as a backup plan. Not sure the Mets do. But where does that leave them if
Kyle Schwarber's for it? Because he's cleaner. It's just you know what you're getting. You're getting a DH who's going to mash. He's gonna mash whoever. And you can plug him in wherever. You're not worried about, oh, he's a defensive liability. Oh, can we play him in the outfield? He's a DH.
Right.
And you're getting what you're paying for.
The positive of it is that he doesn't hurt you defensively. The negative of it is you lose flexibility at DH because all he does is DH. But I think Pete's making this stride because he knows Scott Boras may have overplayed his hand again.
Mm.
Like, if Kyle Schwarber
is trying to get 4 or 5 years. Is Pete Alonso getting 7 years, even if he's 2 years younger? The way teams view Pete Alonso, it's almost like they view Schwarber on a higher level than Pete Alonso.
Yeah, because it's not, it's just, he's just DHing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a cleaner operation, and it's a cleaner expectation for what he's going to do. Pete's going to want to play. Now, ultimately, if he has to sit and not play first base, is that going to bother him?
I think he'd rather play first base, but clearly he's moved off of the, he's got to play first base every single day. And I think the Orioles, the Red Sox, and even the Mets probably view him as a guy that will play some first base, but DH a lot. So my interpretation on him driving to Florida is more about Boris and their negotiations than it is about the Mets. I think the Mets are doing with Pete Alonso what they're doing with Edwin Diaz, which is, here's where we're willing to go.
Right.
If you can do better, let us know. And so far, as of this moment, Alonso and Diaz have not been able to do better than what the Mets are offering. We've heard Edwin wants a fifth year. Mets aren't willing to budge. Has anyone offered Edwin Diaz a fifth year? Pete Alonso wants 7 years. I don't even know if he has an offer on the table. Like, what's the longest term deal even on the table for Pete Alonso? Let's go to Sam in Jackson. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. What's doing? I'm a Yankee fan, but Evan, I've listened to the Rico, and you were talking about Yankee-Met trades, and I think for the Yankees, the key of the offseason would be a Carlos Rodon trade to the Mets. And what I think is, if you could get a serviceable third baseman in return, like a Brett Beatty, then that would allow you to trade McMahon as well for a small return. And that $40 million in net savings will give you new flexibility and really change the offseason.
So let me ask you, Tommy Lugauer, would you trade Brett Beatty for Carlos Rodon? It was just offered by a Yankee fan named Sam.
No. Why? I would not.
Why?
I'd just rather have the everyday player than the pitcher that pitches once every 5 days.
Just keep this in mind about Carlos Rodon. He has 3 years and $81 million left on his contract. If Carlos Rodon, even coming off of an injury at age 33 years old, and by coming off an injury, I mean an offseason injury, because he obviously took the baseball every 5 days, including the postseason. If a 33-year-old Carlos Rodon, coming off a year in which he won 18 games and pitched with 3.09 ERA and threw 195 innings, if that guy was a free agent, what would we say about a three-year, $80 million deal?
You'd say, yes.
You'd say, that's a steal.
Let me take it.
It's exactly what the Mets want to hand out.
Yeah.
They don't want to give a 5 or 6 year deal. So I find Rodon fascinating.
Especially if he becomes expendable to the Yankees.
The question is he expendable to the New York Yankees?
Depends. Well, it depends on the Alcantara stuff. If that is real or comes to fruition, then where is there room for him? Especially if you're going to give Cam Schlittler his due in the lineup. You're also hearing that Michael King is coming back to the Yankees. So there's many different iterations of what the Yankees are going to look like. Carlos Rodon might be the odd man out.
Would you trade Carlos Rodon for Brett Beatty?
Brett Beatty.
That's Sam's trade offer.
I probably would.
You say yes.
I think I would.
Sean, would you trade Carlos Rodon for Brett Beatty?
I would.
How about that? So we almost have a match because Tommy said no.
What was your Rico proposal?
No. We did a Rico last night. You can download it wherever you download podcasts, where we did a horde of Mets Yankees trades.
So there was a bunch of different ones.
There was a bunch of them. The one that was most popular, and we started it by talking about it here, and Big Mac Chris McMonagle said he would make the trade. And that is Mark Vientos for Jason Dominguez.
Right.
And I do think that's the one on paper. And it's so funny because Brian Cashman was on Yankees Hot Stove last night. And Brian Cashman's like brutally honest. And I forget the term he used, Sean. I don't know if you remember the term, but he talked about making a push trade, I think is what he called it.
I think it was a push swap.
A push swap.
What does that mean? Like, so, it's no harm, no foul. We kind of both get what we want.
He defined
Nobody's
it as...
Nobody's winning, so to say.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.